Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un sausage burrito es solo $1.50. Así que échale salsa picante o ketchup a tu sausage burrito con todo en McDonald's. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Hello, welcome to the first episode of The Slab with Chelsea and Jim.
Hi guys. Before we dive into the mysterious murder, I would like to posit to our audience, and potentially you, is zero a number?
Oh no, not this. Chelsea, I can't do the zero a number thing. I'm saying no, it isn't. Or am I saying yes, it is?
That's for you to decide.
I don't think it is a number.
It is a number.
I think it's more of an indicator. Because you can't do anything with the zero. You can't times a zero. You can't add a zero.
But without zero, all other numbers fall into disarray, which is like the opposite of what numbers are about.
You've got to start somewhere, though.
Yeah. Zero. That's
one.
Yeah, but
zero
one
is getting you ready for one. But
like
you don't
fluffer.
Need zero.
It's a number fluffer.
Okay, Charles, count to 10.
Yeah, but where's one coming from? Before one, there's the unspoken. Zero is such a solid number that it's unspoken.
It's not solid. It's got a big hole in the middle. That's true.
I've got a big hole in the middle.
Why was...
Just to clarify, from my mouth to my butt. Why was, just like everybody else.
Why was six scared of...
Oh, no.
No, I'm
I
not going to
go
I want
to start... Go back to zero, guys.
Okay.
So I'm just going to say, Chels thinks zero is a number, Jim doesn't. We're not going to Google it.
I'm happy to be corrected on this one. Yeah. I don't know the answer.
No, you're not happy to be corrected, because I have corrected you and you've gone no.
But it's one of those ones where often these kind of questions, if a tree falls in the forest, does it make a sound? It kind of generates some more philosophical debate, whereas this, I imagine there is a factual answer.
Yeah.
A mathematician would be able to tell you definitively whether
zero is a number.
So I'm not interested in debating it because it's not something I'm happy to be corrected.
Yeah, and if we both said, yeah, it is, because it is, it would be a fine discussion. But I think that if you have the opinion that's wrong, you have to debate why you feel that way. And if you say to me zero isn't a number, when it's really, even though there's no middle of infinity, it's the middle of infinity, right?
So the podcast today... Who put Bella in the witch helm? It's such a good story, this. It's got everything. It happened in the 1940s. It's got Nazis in it. It's got potential witchcraft in it. It's got a body found in the middle of a tree. What more could you want from a story than that?
You've asked me that question before we came into the podcast. I mean, you weren't asking me then. It was more to the audience. But you asked me that and I concluded nothing, didn't I? There's nothing I'd want more from a story than that, Jim.
It all began on the 18th of April, 1943, at dusk. So four young boys were out in Hagley Woods, which is near where we grew up, actually, Charles. It's in the Midlands. Probably closer to where I was born than you.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you say we grew up, the Midlands is a broad spectrum of
working class
people.
The middle bit is known for being the biggest bit, and the Midlands is massive.
Although the middle bit of a circle is the biggest.
Not going back to zeros again. I refuse. So it happened in Hagley. So four young boys were out in Hagley Wood in Worcestershire, and they were nesting, which is when you go around trying to find birds' nests and collect the eggs. Sort of like an early form of Pokemon Go, which is pretty fucked up and obviously has died out for that reason.
It's also the most lowly form of hunting.
Very low risk.
The cowards.
the cowards hunting.
So
they were nesting. They found this hollow elm tree. And I had a look at some photos of this online. It is the ugliest looking tree I've ever seen.
Only by media standards, Jim. Okay? It's got a great personality.
This is before the age of Photoshop, before airbrushing, I get it. But like, imagine just a massive tree trunk. No branches, no leaves, just lots of twigs growing out of it. Almost looks like a big bush. Anyway, a horrible looking tree. They have a look inside for some eggs. What they actually find is a human skull.
The biggest egg of them all. That's how it was described in the newspapers.
That's the headline they went for.
How old was it?
Well, there was still a little bit of hair and flesh on the face. And they got it out, and there's quite a lot of tellings of this story on the internet. Some people say they kind of immediately ran away, they were scared. Others say that they got the skull out and they got some of their other friends to come and see it.
I believe that version, just having been familiar with young boys.
Especially in the 1940s.
Not now, I'm no longer familiar with young boys.
That sounds really dodgy.
In my youth.
Charles is on a list.
I've seen Stand By Me. They purposely went to see that body and they did bring their friends.
But I feel like in the 1940s, you're probably finding skulls all the time. Certainly more frequently than now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like people just a bit more, maybe not comfortable with death, but you're certainly surrounded by death more during that time. Anyway, they went back home and most stories say that initially they'd made this pact to not tell anyone because they didn't want to get in trouble for nesting, because nesting's a bit weird and a bit illegal. But the youngest of the group, it's always the youngest, a guy called Tommy Willits, ended up telling his dad, who told the police. So the police were called. They found the tree, took the remains of a woman from inside the trunk, along with some scraps of clothes that had the labels cut out of them, some battered shoes, and a gold-coloured wedding ring.
Okay, so initially what stands out to me, the labels are cut out of the clothes.
Mm.
That's something I want to hear more about, Jim.
Yeah.
Two, can you tell me a bit more about the state of the body?
Well, it's not in a great state. It was a skeleton. There's a little bit of flesh and hair remaining on the skull. But other than that, it was just bones. What was really interesting is that the some of the finger and the hand bones were found outside of the tree, buried a few yards away. The coroner, this guy called James Webster, said that the death was because of asphyxiation, because there's a piece of fabric found stuffed into the mouth of the skull.
Don't eat fabric.
What would you asphyxiate a skull with?
A skull?
Yeah, a person.
And it has to be a fabric?
Yeah.
I don't know. I quite to use like a whole bunting. So you pull it out like a magician's trick. That would be a great episode of the podcast.
Yeah.
If they just like found like magician's paraphernalia in each orifice.
And what's this? It's a dove.
So just pull it like a bunch of flowers out, a cunt.
Well, she was wearing a top hat, actually. There's a rabbit underneath it. Anyway, this pathologist guy, James Webster, he said that the person would have been between the ages of 35 and 40 when they died, and the corpse was still warm when it was put in place, because it's a very tight space, and the thinking is if rigor mortis had started to set in, whoever put the body in the stump wouldn't have been able to actually squeeze it in there. But I thought, well, yeah, I guess they either would have done it while it was still soft and still warm, mm-hmm. or wait until it's more decomposed and then...
Or they, whilst it was soft, they folded it up so it froze in that position, and then sort of like a handy little pill just to slip that right in.
Plotted it in afterwards.
Yeah, like IKEA.
You know, flat pack person.
I mean, that's a way of doing it. That's a great way of doing it, because you don't have to worry about getting caught during the time you're stuffing it in.
Mm.
You've already got it in flat pack.
Yeah, yeah.
It's in shape.
A lot of forward planning though there. I mean, the thing
so you
that
don't
we'll
think
probably,
this was premeditated?
Well, I mean, I think the thing that we'll come back to throughout it, I guess, is that it's a weird place to hide a body in
What's
a tree.
What's a non-weird place to hide a body?
In the ground.
That's just burying
People
a body,
been burying
Jim.
Bodies for
Do you
years.
Think, like, the graveyards are just, like, really poorly kept secrets from murderers?
It'd been there 18 months, had irregular teeth, and they worked out that the victim had previously given birth.
Irregular teeth?
Yeah.
Pre or post-death?
Well, they're saying pre-death.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Irregular, like, two rows
Although,
off?
Granted, they probably looked a lot worse after being dead for 18 months.
Sure, but maybe, like, tiny bugs chewed all the plaque off. You know, well, like sharks?
I've got a picture, and you can see that they are very quite crooked.
Hold
like,
on,
that,
guys.
That is a distinctive... So yeah. The front tooth is protruding about, I'd say, half a centimeter.
It looks, if the teeth were legs, they need a wee.
Yeah,
it's cross one over the other, like, oh, holding the bladder in.
It's a good way of putting it.
Thanks,
actually.
Jim.
So that's what they had to go off. So they put together quite a detailed description, and they put that out there. They contacted every dentist in the country, and they searched a list of 3,000 missing people, but there were no matches. Nobody came forward and said that somebody missing that description was missing, or that they'd heard about being somebody missing. There was just there was nothing. It alien. Drew a total blank.
Alien. Is that where this is going?
And they found out it's an alien. Didn't mention, actually also found with tentacles.
Small detail I left out.
So it's kind of like, the investigation, I think, got quite a lot of publicity initially, because it's a weird discovery to have made.
It's also interesting that it would get so much publicity during the Second World War. You've got bigger problems.
Well, this is the thing. So the publicity was very short-lived because it was in the middle of the war. Especially in that area of the Midlands, there was a lot of bombing there because there were lots of munitions factories, so it was actually quite a good target. So they were going through shit anyway. They were like, look, corpse in a tree, that's interesting, but we've got... I mean, we're literally being bombed.
Yeah.
We can't give this too much attention.
Well, it's also interesting then that the boys were so worried about nesting.
Yeah.
In the backdrop of war.
Yeah.
That pales in comparison to war crime.
Yeah.
Because that would have been a good argument. You shouldn't go nesting. You're grounded. Hitler's over there melting the Jews. Melting the Jews.
You can't say melting.
I haven't seen a baby bird since I was young.
You don't see them much now. You used to see them occasionally just like on the floor, sort of splattered a bit.
Yeah.
But I've not seen that, yeah, since childhood. Maybe it's just because we live in London and there aren't that many
birds
around. Actually, that's not true. There's as many birds here as anywhere else.
I don't know if that is true.
They're probably just living in like trendy loft apartments in Hackney.
You know, there's a lot of parrots in New York.
There's parrots in where I live in Richmond.
What's a parrot baby called?
I've never thought about a parrot baby before.
I can't imagine a parrot in an egg.
Well, should we get back to...
the witch elm.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, spelt with a Y. Which immediately makes the story less interesting.
Yeah. Well, the witch elm is a type of tree, isn't it?
Yeah, like witch hazel. According to you, the ugliest tree.
This one was really ugly.
This
one was such an ugly tree.
You know the tree from the top of Pride Rock?
No. So it all came... obviously, it's in the middle of bombing, so interest in this faded quite quickly because there was just too much other stuff going on, and there weren't any obvious leads. But 6 months later, graffiti started to appear across the region, and some stories say that the graffiti said, "Who put Bella down the witch elm?" Others says that it was originally, "Who put Lou Bella down the witch elm?" The police...
Where did the name Bella come from?
This just appeared in graffiti.
It wasn't triggered from anything.
In several,
that was the genesis
of nowhere.
Bella.
Yeah.
Okay.
Several places across the region. And weirdly, people still write that graffiti now in Hagley Woods. Every time it's cleaned off, it gets replaced.
Well, I need something to do on the weekends.
So the police sort of took this as a bit of a lead and searched for some Bellas, but they didn't get anywhere. And... it just seemed like this person had come from nowhere and was missed by nobody. So it got left for a few years until theories started to emerge. And the first one was from somebody called Margaret Murray, who was a professor of anthropology. And she put forward the idea that the death might be linked to the occult.
Mm-hmm.
A theory... called Hand of Glory, which is quite cool. Ever heard of Hand of Glory before?
No, but you know, like those giant chairs that you sit on that are also the hands marked out a bit like phrenology.
Oh yeah,
but on the hand you sit on that's what I'm imagining.
Yeah,
I don't know how that relates, but that's what I'm just letting you know what's in my mind right now.
Okay,
I'm also thinking about a second lunch. Just FYI.
Well, stick with the image of a hand. It's basically a black magic execution.
Oh.
And this has gone on for centuries, and it's the practice of cutting a hand off when somebody's been killed and using the fat from the corpse to make a candle, and then the hand, which you dry or pickle as a charm, to find treasure.
How
or you can
use
also
that?
Use it to put spells on people.
How do you use the hand to find treasure? Is it like those water sticks?
I don't know. I think maybe it is to do with where the finger points. Maybe it's like spin the bottle. You just spin it round and wherever it lands, right, that way to the treasure.
I've not seen that. I've never seen like an image of a luck charm. What's the word for decapitated if it's a hand? Dehandicated. I've never seen a dehandicated... like on eBay, you'd think like, I've seen a rabbit's foot, sure.
You can't buy human body parts on eBay, Chels.
Well, maybe in 1998 you could. And I was always in that like oddities section.
Yeah.
I've never seen that. I've never ever seen like a, I've seen like dismembered hands.
If you've gone to the effort of drying and pickling a hand, you're not going to put it on eBay. That's effort. Hold on to that.
Upcycling. That's huge right now.
I bet if we went into Hackney or Shoreditch or to one of those street markets, we'd find loads of upcycled hands.
Upcycled body parts. I bought a mannequin from Caledonian Road. That's not the same, but it's like...
Very different.
It's a gateway body part, isn't it? Just a plastic torso. Next stop, hand.
That's where it starts, Chels.
Would you say it was called?
Hand of Glory.
Hand of Glory.
Yeah, Hand of Glory. It's been going on for years. I mean, the thing is, there was only a few fingers missing from the body. It wasn't a whole hand that was found outside of the witch elm.
Debunked. Next.
Just a few little bits of fingers. But this Margaret person says the most important detail relating to the cult is that there's an old custom of putting women thought to be witches in hollow logs after death to ensure that they can't rise from the dead to inflict harm on the living.
So is wood like... a witch's silver for werewolves.
Yeah, or a vampire's garlic. It seems like that.
Because like you
stuff it in a log.
All you've done is put like a thin film of a material over them, the same as burying them in the ground. Like they can get through mud, but they can't get through wood.
I don't know what the thinking is behind putting. Also, it's hard to find a hollowed out tree. And they killed a lot of witches in the Middle Ages.
Well, this is something else I was thinking about, Jim. Is I've never in real life seen a hollowed out tree. The only place that exists is like fucking Disney movies.
Yeah.
And like Cinderella's there and a little mice friend comes out and he lives in there. Or the Borrowers.
So if you're into black magic and you're into killing witches, the moment when you do stumble across a hollow tree, and they're rare, they've got to be rare, that must be like your Christmas.
Yeah.
Hey, we got one. Quick, find a witch to shove in it.
I haven't got to do anything about that. Have you watched that documentary? Did I send it to you? About how there's no forests on Earth?
No.
I think it's somewhat...
It's one of your conspiracy theories,
Yeah,
Chels.
It does. It touches a smidge on flat Earth.
There's another detail that related to this maybe being an occult death, and that is that a guy called Charles Winton was stabbed with a pitchfork and sickle not far away from where the body was found in the tree.
A sickle?
A sickle.
What's it? Is that like a small scythe?
I think so. It's like what death carries around, isn't it?
Well, a scythe is a... Wait.
Hang on.
I feel like a sickle. Is that something to do with the Masons?
It's like the... You know the communist sign?
Yeah, the Masons. I sometimes confuse the Masons and the communists.
Very similar.
So what have scythes and pitchforks got to do with the occult?
This is why Margaret's theory didn't really go much further than this. And it got a bit of attention in the press. It's kind of like a good story. Like, if you live near Hagley Woods, like, that's quite exciting.
Yeah, like,
bit
it's
of talk
the...
of witchcraft.
Well, yeah. I mean, Salem has made a fuck ton of money off of tourism because of that. I can see how that's a viable option.
Especially if you got, like, you can go and visit the site where the hand was found. I was trying to see if the tree still exists, but I can't find any record of it. So I guess it doesn't.
Don't take that down. Why would you take that down?
I don't know.
Who's
maybe
heard
it just
of Hagley
died?
Other than Bella and the Witch Elm? Keep the fucking tree there. Put a little gift shop next to that. I'll buy a mug from that, Jim. You know I will.
When I was at Alcatraz the other week on holiday, I wasn't on
I was
holiday
wondering
in
how
Alcatraz.
You're gonna shoehorn that
I was
in.
On holiday and I visited Alcatraz while I was there. They had little Christmas baubles in the shape of Alcatraz prison for sale in the gift shop.
That's lovely.
I did think about getting you one.
I would like a snow globe. I don't know whether or not to get into snow globes.
Yeah, I can see you in a room full of snow globes. It's very Chels.
I've flirted with the idea for many years, but then I've never quite found one that really captivated me. What I like about snow globes is there's always like the same as Lilliput. You know, Lilliput, like the tiny cottages and stuff.
Yeah.
It's like in a snow globe, you imagine yourself being transported into the world of the snow globe.
Yeah.
And I'd like to have just an array of like fantasy lands to pop into. I mean, Alcatraz.
If a witch found you, she could swap you with somebody in a snow globe.
She could pop me in a snow globe.
And then there'd be a little Chels in there. Let me out.
Oh, I might not want to get out.
You might not want to get out.
It could be like a Hogwarts snow globe.
As long as you got
Keep
Overwatch
in
there, you'll
Don't
be
Don't know
laughing.
If there's great Wi-Fi in Hogwarts.
Patchy at best. We'll get back to the witch elm. So Margaret's Hand of Glory theory kind of faded away, and there was not really much chat about the body in the witch helm for a while, until in 1953.
10 years later.
When a woman calling herself Anna contacted the Wolverhampton Express and Star, local newspaper.
Calling herself Anna, does that mean that was a pseudonym?
It was a pseudonym, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, her real name is Una. But I'll get onto that.
Not too far from Anna.
Anna Una. It's like German Anna.
It is. It's as though she was like, oh, I want a pseudonym, but I don't want to forget what it is. And I don't want to not answer it. Like, if they interview me in real life and they say Anna, I don't want to just be looking blankly elsewhere, waiting for Anna to reply. Yeah.
Also, as this went on, she gave up her real name really quickly. She was Anna for about 5 minutes, and then clearly was like, I don't know why I've even given myself a pseudonym. So she got in touch with the Wolverhampton Express and Star, which was the local newspaper, saying that Bella was killed because she was involved in a Nazi spy ring.
Oh.
Yeah. And she wrote saying, the affair is closed and involves no witches, black magic, or moonlight rites. Much as I hate having to use a nom de plume, I think you would appreciate it if you knew me. The only clues I can give you are that the person responsible for the crime died insane in 1942, and the victim was Dutch and arrived in England illegally about 1941. I have no wish to recall any more.
So he or she, whoever killed her, died before she was found.
Yeah. This is what convenient. Anna or Una alleges. So it's at this point where, like, I feel a few stories have got mixed up. Because this has been written about so much, it's difficult to work out what the facts were that were derived from this Una person.
So she must have been friends with Bella, because where's the impetus or desire or need to bring this back up? If the murderer is dead, say it's true. If the murderer is dead and you don't give a shit about the person that's been killed, like, why are you going to go, oh, I'll tell you these little, like, tidbits? Just leave it.
I guess if you're mad, if you just want attention, maybe it was a prank. Maybe it was a prank, bro.
Maybe.
I mean, that's what I initially thought, but she did go on to meet with the police in secret. And I think if you're meeting with the police,
In secret from who?
In secret from the press.
Oh, okay.
So there are a few little bits and bobs leaked, but there were never any full details that came out from those meetings. But the story is that Una's husband, Jack, worked at a local munitions factory in the 1940s, but came into some money after meeting a mysterious Dutch man, which is, I mean, that's intriguing in itself. I'd love to know a mysterious Dutch man.
What was Holland's involvement? Is that where Dutch is?
Yeah, Holland is Dutch, yeah. Dutch,
what was Holland's involvement? And is Holland the Netherlands?
Yeah.
Wait, where's Amsterdam?
In Holland.
Okay.
Isn't it?
I don't know.
I'm like 99% sure.
Yeah. But the Netherlands more than just Holland?
It's the Netherlands. It's all of those.
Where's Denmark?
Denmark is by Sweden.
Yeah, but what are they called collectively?
Scandinavia.
Yeah, that's why I get Netherlands.
Yeah.
So if the Netherlands is just one country, I need it to not be called the Netherlands anymore.
I'm gonna have to Google the Netherlands.
Maybe it's just like, you know how the Great Britain is just like us, and then like the Isle of Dogs.
Netherlands is Amsterdam. Oh no, Holland. So Netherlands is the official name, and Holland is the informal name.
That's a lie. It's definitely the other way around.
That's what it says. That's what it says. Anyway, during the war, it was overtaken by Nazis.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, was he actually Dutch, or was he a Nazi infiltrating a munitions factory and paying the guy off to, like, maybe fuck up the production so we didn't have enough resource for the war?
Is correct, ooh, Charles. Ooh. So Jack admitted to Una, his wife, that the Dutchman he met was a Nazi agent.
P.S. Una, that sounds a bit German.
And Jack had been given him information about the munitions factory that he worked in, which is then passed on to another agent who was posing as a cabaret performer at local theatres.
If I was a double agent, I would definitely be like, oh, it's best for me to do cabaret at a local theatre in some random place, tiny town in the Midlands. That's definitely where you need me, Adolf.
Well, that's my first thing. I'm like, how much cabaret is going on in Hagley Woods?
Why do you need multiple secret agents in Hagley?
Just, I feel like they've got too many people involved
there. This is why Germany lost the war.
Yeah.
They're all up in Hagley.
In music halls.
Yeah. But you see, like, all these, like, Russian spies get killed. Like, they're all dotted around London or whatever. Like, it's really highbrow, difficult, tricky shit. Even, like, the Cambridge Analytica stuff. Like, it's all covert. Meanwhile, German spies are doing karaoke in Hull.
Well, one day, Jack met his contact at a pub near Hagley Wood. Where he was seen arguing with
a
Dutch woman.
Quiz night?
Yeah, probably. Happy hour. He ordered Jack to drive them both out to the Clent Hills. Don't know where they are, not looked it up. But the argument had grown violent and the Dutch agent strangled the woman in the car. Fearing for his own life, Jack helped carry the body into nearby Hagley Wood where the pair buried it in the hollow of the old elm tree. Una's husband was apparently so traumatised by the murder that he had a nervous breakdown, tormented by horrific visions of a woman's skull in a tree, and was institutionalised in 1941 and died later that year.
So when Una said that he's already dead, was she referring to Jack or was she referring to the agent?
Well, I think she was referring to Jack.
Oh, he didn't do it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was involved, though.
He was there.
He was there when
I've been
happened.
Around.
But
I've been near things before.
Have you ever been near a murder and a hollow tree? Well,
no.
We know you've not been near hollow trees.
I haven't been near hollow trees. I don't know if I've been near a murder.
I mean, it's a pretty horrific thing to have gone through, though.
I don't know.
So try and help hide a body in a tree. The one thing that, like, everyone says is the space where she was hidden was so tight, it would have really been a squeeze to get her in it.
I don't know. I always think about that. Like, if something really bad happened, like... Not a murder, but say if I saw someone fall in front of the tube.
Yeah.
Would I be able to live a normal life? Because I feel like you must have some sort of propensity to breakdowns.
Yeah.
If you see something, obviously, like, you've got to probably go through therapy if something traumatic happens. But if you witness something.
Yeah.
There must be some people that just, you know, to have completely fall apart, there must be something in there already.
He could have had other problems at home with Una.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't know how he died. We don't know if he committed suicide. If he could have just been really old.
Jack,
yeah, he could have been in the war and had, like, other health issues going on. Obviously, terrible thing, putting a body in a hollow tree. That's going to give you nightmares. It's going to fuck you up a little bit. But to be institutionalized because of it, is that a bit far-fetched?
Well, that's what I thought. But I'm also now contextualizing it. 1950s, right? We still had, like, asylums and shit in America at that point, right?
Still had them here.
Well, yeah. So, like, our ability to deal with mental health, I think it was a sort of one-size-fits-all. If you're not normal, we'll put you away. Like, it wasn't that far from when we still believed in witches.
Yeah.
So, like, oh, you've got your period, you're a witch, put you in an asylum.
Yeah.
So it could be part and parcel of that. Like, he could have been relatively normal, just a bit PTSD.
Yeah, yeah.
Or he could have been fully fledged.
Yeah.
Gone.
Yeah.
You don't know.
This is all what Una has fed back to the MI5, and then part of it was leaked to the local paper as well, who used to report on it kind of on a weekly basis. And it seemed like maybe it could have been an explanation for what happened, because the timescales worked. There are other facts that seem to line up. So MI5 pursued this as a line of investigation, and they confirmed some of the details, but not all of them. Which made some people think it might be a cover-up because they were very quiet. They didn't make much of a statement about it. It was still not long since the war, so a lot of details relating to spies and Nazis in the UK were classified. A lot of the information was still kept under wraps. And it was all bolstered by the fact that the remains of the body in the tree went missing around this time, so they couldn't do any further forensic examinations.
Well, they just left him in the tree?
No, they didn't leave her in the tree, Chels.
Where did they lose them from then?
I don't know, wherever they were storing them.
Did they get stolen or did they get lost?
They just said they were lost.
How do you lose a body?
Especially when it's in loads of pieces.
I mean, I've lost, as I said to you earlier, I've lost most of my SD cards.
Yeah.
But that feels more normal. If I had a fucking body in this flat,
I mean, maybe, I'd know where maybe that was. Lose like...
Also, who... Like, a body is something that if you put somewhere, you'd be so clear in your mind as to, like, probably what it looked like when you put it there. Like, it was not, like, a pleasant experience, and that would scar a memory in a little bit.
Yeah. But also, I mean, it was taken by the police. They've got proper place. It's not like someone just put it away in their house.
Got some sort of, like, hot fuzz.
It's not like someone's like, oh, did I put it in that kitchen drawer where all the old batteries go? Or, I think I moved it into the garage. No, they have... They have places where...
Body lockers.
They've got body lockers.
Yeah.
Which makes me think maybe there is some sort of MI5 police cover-up going on there.
Wait, I just want to, like, dial back a bit. Who was she a spy for? Because if the German spy is with Jack, so he kills her, but isn't she... Didn't you say that she was a German spy too? So why would he kill his compadre?
What, in relation to Bella?
Yeah.
Why would... Well, all that Una said at this point was that there was some sort of fallout between Bella, the cabaret singer, and the Dutchman.
Oh, so we don't know if
Nazi
she was
spy.
A
spy. But at this stage, this is just what's being fed back to the press. So it is all still very woolly. A lot of the details are missing. I think there's probably some poetic license from the journalist as well, just trying to make this into a story because it captured the public's imagination again.
And you said that she came over like a couple years before this, the cabaret Bella.
Yeah.
So she could have been like his wife. She could have been like, maybe he was paying her to fuck him and they fell out or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. She's not necessarily...
She could have threatened to, like, I don't know, put them in danger somehow by talking about what they were up to.
Or maybe she's a double agent.
She could be a double agent. These are all theories, but it kind of went quiet again because there's no real evidence and the MI5 weren't saying anything.
And they lost the body.
Specific. They'd lost the body. All seems very, very dodgy. Until 15 years later when a new book came out, which kind of...
Like 15 years later, it's like... Barry, you'll never bloody guess what I just found. What is it? It's bloody Bella. She's been in the body locker the whole time. Oh, I was looking in
I
the fridge.
I thought I'd check them. So this new book came out 15 years later, which kind of picked up that theory, but also threw in some German military intelligence records that had become available.
I was thinking that's what we were missing.
Yeah, that's what we need to piece it together. Because this stuff was starting to become declassified.
Yeah.
So it's like now people who are into this kind of stuff can start to piece it together themselves. And there was a Nazi agent by the name of Lehrer.
Is that his first or second name?
I don't know. First name. Lehrer. Surname. Lehrer.
Yeah.
Lehrer. Operated in the Midlands in 1941. And he did have a Dutch girlfriend living in Birmingham.
Uh-oh, that's who
Clara
it is.
Clara Bella Dronkers.
That's her!
Who is the same age and had crooked teeth.
Dronkers.
Dronkers. Clara Bella Dronkers.
That's like a Rumpelstiltskin name, if ever I've heard
Ooh, one. Clara Bella Dronkers.
Hollow Tree, Rumpelstiltskin.
People just had fun names in the 1940s, Charles.
This is Inglourious Bastards.
Especially if you're a Nazi spy who's... I mean, she's a Nazi spy who's also a music hall worker.
Yeah. No, I think like that's it. That's right. So who was writing the graffiti? Was it Anna? Anna? Anu?
Well, we don't know. Nobody's ever
come
forward to claim...
Well, they knew it was Bella. They knew it was Clara Bella, right?
Yeah.
Were there more spies in the area at the time?
Well, it could have been rumours that just got round about her going missing.
Yeah, sure. But I mean, like, the police only started looking for someone called Bella because of the graffiti, right?
Maybe people knew, but they just didn't tell the police or had suspicions. There could have been rumours going round that it was this person called Bella.
Yeah, it seems that everyone did know, apart from the police.
Yeah. Well, there's quite a lot of evidence that's been dug up. Because there were just more files that came out sort of recently. And I won't go into it all because they go quite in depth with it. I mean, the one key piece of evidence against this theory is that the pathologist said that Bella's height was 5 foot. Clara Bella was known to be very tall and was 6 foot.
If we had that body, that would clear that right up.
I know.
I don't know. It would be easier to fit a 5 foot person in a tree.
Yeah.
But also, I feel like she could have been wearing heels. A tall woman is likely, people like to exaggerate, right? So if you see a tall woman, you might go, oh, she was 6 foot, when really she was like 5'7".
Maybe she just had a very overbearing personality that made her seem much bigger than she actually was.
Or really long arms.
Or big hair.
But, yeah.
Maybe she had like Marge Simpson hair. I mean, going right back to the clothes that were found with the body, the fact that all the labels were cut out, I guess that would make sense with the whole Nazi spy thing.
Yeah, well,
you
mean,
don't want to know where they've got their. You don't want any way of identifying them.
The didn't the Somerton man like have all of the labels from his clothes cut out and stuff, like because he was a spy.
Yeah,
like that's what they do.
Yeah,
that's just like basic spy 101.
Also, the missing fingers. Maybe it was the fact that she had information that she wasn't letting on, and they chopped up a finger to try and get her to talk.
I don't know if that's what it was. So, guys, this is the post-mystery discussion. Jim, anything else you want to add? Any more info you want to chuck at us that didn't fit into the main narrative?
Well, there's actually loads of information on this, and several people have written books about it. There's been documentaries about it. So there is more info, and there's a little bit more evidence that did come out to support this idea that maybe she was a Nazi and involved in some kind of spy ring, and maybe she knew too much, and maybe she had to be silenced. But the evidence against that is quite overwhelming. Like, this person who she was possibly identified as was much taller than the body was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Also, if you're not from the area, if you're operating as a spy, why would you kill and hide somebody in the middle of the woods in a tree? Seems like an odd thing to do. It seems quite specific. So I think generally the consensus is that she was just a normal person who was just randomly murdered. I read something online, I can't remember where, it was common for poor people, obviously, to buy clothes off the market, and clothes off the market had their labels cut out of them, so maybe that's why the clothes are found with no tags on.
But I still think somebody would have recognised her or gone, not only, so people were calling her Bella, right? The graffiti was calling her Bella, and we've got identified one or two people called Bella, Cara Bella.
That's the weird thing, yeah.
Could be related to German spies and who came over previously.
Because you could just put it down as a hoax, but the fact that the graffiti preceded the first mention of her being a spy called Bella kind of negates that. If it was the other way round,
no questions like, would be asked.
Obviously, it would just be a hoax.
Yeah.
It's just kids messing around. So that is the most intriguing part of it.
I didn't think she was a normal. I think that she was, something was going down, because why would Jack be involved? Jack, who works for the munitions factory and is getting money from the Germans, that's obvious. That makes sense. That happened all the time in the war. Why is he having a breakdown? Why is his wife saying it's Bella?
Yeah.
Why is she German?
What would Una have to gain from going to the Express and Star and detailing this elaborate story?
Which also happens to coincidentally be backed up by some declassified information 30 years later.
But then you do hear of people just making up stories just for shits and giggles, just for something to do. I mean, it was the 1940s, it's after the war, maybe she's bored.
Yeah, I mean, what murderer was it where like a lot of people could have almost been him? Was it the Zodiac?
Yeah,
right, there was like a fuck ton of people who were almost the Zodiac and like made, or even some people that wanted to be, people that the police thought it was, and would then, like, just a tiny bit of thing would throw them off.
Yeah.
But they had multiple leads on that.
Mm.
So I feel like it's true that you could make up a claim and then it somehow fit multiple other narratives that could coincidentally back you up. But the graffiti and Una's real lack of... I just can't see why she would bother. She had no reason to do so, and there was no incentive there for her. She'd already lost her husband, and not from... If he'd been murdered, you'd see that she'd maybe want to get revenge, but he just went to an institution and perished there somehow.
But why dump the body in a tree?
I feel like you're too hung up on the tree part. To me, that's the least weird
really?
Component. Yeah, you find bodies... People have to put bodies places.
just seems like a really messy and difficult way of solving that problem.
You murder somebody and you're near a wood, right? You go into the wood. Assumably, you're going to try and either hide the body or bury the body. If you don't have, even if you have the tools to bury a body, to dig a hole big enough to cover a body that won't get identified by sniffer dogs or like the debris blown away in like a storm or whatever, that's a fucking lot of work and it takes many hours. It's so hard to dig a grave. I don't know, no experience doing so, but I've heard that. If you just walk along and there's just like a handy hole to just that pop must the have thing been
their
in. Look,
yeah, that was their lucky day. Wow.
So yeah, to me that's not weird. That's just a lucky coincidence.
Do you think they were just walking around the forest then trying to find a hollow tree?
Looking at the thing, you'd think that people in the local area would know about it.
Yeah.
Like that's something you would remember. If we went to a forest and we saw that, we'd be like, let's go to the weird tree again.
Although I don't actually know how accessible it was. I think it was on private property. Some people are saying maybe it was a prostitute and there was I mean, people always say that.
Yeah, or it's murdered as a prostitute.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like to believe that she was a spy. I mean, if I could pick any of them, it would be she is a witch. But
yeah,
if I'm going to base it in reality.
And I like that they really tried to make the witch theory a thing.
It's because it's a witch elm.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is cool.
Margaret or whatever name is like, oh, they used to put witches in trees.
Case solved.
Yeah.
What's next?
Yeah. And there was that guy who fell on his pitchfork.
Devil.
Really, Margaret?
What meat's in this pie? It's magpie. Is that what you put in a pie?
What's happened to you?
You know, they put magpies in a pie and you lift it up and they all fly out.
Blackbirds.
Yeah. I got confused because magpie's got the word pie in it.
Yeah.
Which makes more sense to
me. Magpie pie.
That's cute. You could just call it the magpie.
Yeah.
Oh, what's that pie? It must be blackbirds, says Margaret.
Yeah.
Always like the shortest distance between two points.
Everything to be witchcraft, doesn't she,
yeah.
Margaret?
But she's playing like Occam's razor, but it's the occult razor.
Yeah.
Like, what's the obvious spooky explanation? She's there.
Also, tree looks a little bit like a broomstick. Witches love broomsticks.
Do you think that back in the day, I think like part of me, I like that we have a lot of information available to us now, obviously, because like it's facts. I would love to live in a past where if I wanted to believe in witchcraft, there wasn't enough evidence to suggest against it. So I could have that like, oh, maybe there's magic in the world.
Those kind of beliefs would have got you burnt, Charles.
No, I could believe in it without being one.
Yeah, but
I could be like, oh,
girl,
I hate those witches.
But is that actually cool?
Them. Yeah,
like, oh, it's peeking
cool.
in the cauldron. No, yeah. I hate it. Get rid of that.
Don't have a cauldron if you're trying to hide being a witch.
Don't wear a pointy hat as well.
Yeah, that's what did those Salem girls in.
Yeah.
All those black cats following them around.
Just get yourself a nice... I mean, even if it was a cowboy hat.
Any sort of other hat would do.
If you're into novelty, just don't go... If you're a witch, don't wear a witch's hat if you don't want to be caught.
Or a cape.
And does it have to be a broomstick you're riding around on?
Laugh normally, don't cackle. Well, we could have given some great advice in the 1800s. So, guys, that was the first episode of The Slab.
Let us know what you think of this.
Yeah, so if you've got your own theories and they're short... Tweet us at Chelsea and Jim. If they're a bit longer, lengthier, you've got some juice, maybe you want to tell us a bit of life story, you can email us jimandchels@gmail.com.
It's bad branding, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
jimandchels@gmail.com. Send us an email if you've got any thoughts on this or if you've got any thoughts on future stories that you'd like us to talk about, something you've heard about.
Or if you're a Patreon supporter, there's a dedicated text channel in our Discord for you to post links, videos, chat with each other about what you want us to talk about. It's called Electronic Text Phenomenon.
And yeah, we do have a Patreon as well, obviously.
Oh yeah, we've got a Patreon.
So if you want to support the podcast, then go and look at that.
That is Chelsea and Jim. The Patreon's Chelsea and Jim, but it will say The Slab on the page.
Yeah.
Just make sure everything's clear and easy to find.
We'll put the links in a text form somewhere around this podcast.
Possibly.
Maybe in the description.
Depending on where you're listening to it and if there's that functionality.
You're an intelligent person. You'll find the information you need. I'm confident.
You've already made great decisions about what podcasts to listen to.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. We'll be back next week with more.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
When she said, I don't dance now, I make money moves, that was a mission statement for a whole new generation.
Respect, but that's not the Mount Rushmore. Listen, cash rules everything around me. When that line dropped, it changed the whole hustle.
The greatest tracks are never finished. They're just debated forever. Introducing the Sprite Living Tracklist. 50 tracks that shape the culture from 6 decades of hip-hop. Scan the QR code on a Sprite or Sprite Zero Sugar to see the full breakdown. Obey your thirst. Sprite.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Your coffee would never get cold. Your flight would always be on time. And your mattress would always respond to you and your unique sleep needs. Sleep Number mattresses are designed to respond to your body and shift with your changing life, helping you fall asleep faster and stay asleep longer. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.